So we continue in the topic of Ger. We are on page 394. The learning today, as always, should be Eschosi Lenishmas, our dearest Chaver Luzi, Chaim Eliza Ben Shem Shinarye, as well as Eschos for a Ili Neshama for Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Ben Chaim Menachem Ben Zion. It should also be Eschos for Fu Shlema. As well as a schuss for all those in a makam sakana in Eretz Yisrael and those risking their lives to protect it. So we continue now, as I said, on page 394, where we are talking about, in the topic of Ger, we're talking about how a person is supposed to feel like a non-permanent resident, like a traveler in this world. He says, it's true that whatever we become accustomed to, we feel like it's a necessity. If you would line up and say, okay, what are the things I have to have, right? Let's say you're making a budget. You talk about the things you have to have. You know, for a lot of us, we would say, I need two cars. Well, why? Your parents, a lot of our parents may do with one car because we're used to that lifestyle. I need a cell phone. Well, what are you talking about? We grew up with a cell phone. We grew up without cell phones and we were just fine. We were probably happier when we went to shul and people couldn't reach us. But the answer is you become accustomed to it and now it becomes a way of life and you can't even function without it. Al derech sha'amru, and this is what Chazal say, de machsara yashayach saloi, that the Torah gives a mitzvah of tzedakah. This is one of the most surprising aspects of the mitzvah of tzedakah that I had heard when I heard it, which is that the mitzvah of tzedakah is not to provide someone with three meals a day, but rather it's to provide someone with what he is accustomed to, which means that if you have a multi-millionaire who goes poor, it's not just a mitzvah of tzedakah to give him $100,000 to live for the year, but it's a mitzvah to give him back a couple of million dollars so he could live in a fancy house and drive a fancy car because that's what he's used to. That's what he says. Afilu sus lirkei v'lav ve'eved l'aretz lefanav, even if he's someone that rode on a horse or that had a servant running in front of him, it's a mitzvah. So it's to pay extra so that he could have a Tesla or a Cadillac, even though in theory, to get around, a Camry would drive just as well. But again, the mitzvah tzedakah is what we're used to. But these types of needs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides are who knows and let them elephant myself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will only provide you for according to your actions. Shem Zaycha Noisin as Achim Beitai. That if a person is Zaycha, Hashem will provide it for him. Shekol Echa, the Fima Shehurgal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mezamin Lai Be'ezah Eifin Shiyah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for each person what he's accustomed to in one way or another. Oy Sheaviach De Machsayroi. Either you could earn it through your regular living, I'm in a tzedakah, or you're receiving from tzedakah. And he brings a proof. Like the story that's brought in the Gemara, so the Gemara there, this is the Gemara in, I think it's the Gemara in Ksubis. But the Gemara tells a story which I'm pretty sure we talked about once before when we were talking about bitachon, and the idea that if a person has true bitachon, then he can get pretty much anything. And the Gemara there talks about that you had a poor person who Rava asked him. He came to Rava's house to eat. So Rava said to him, "Nu, what do you like to eat?" So he says, "I like to eat fat meat, fat hens, and old wine, the most expensive wine." So Rava said to the guy, you're going around collecting tzedakah. How do you eat that? He goes, it's fine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides it for me. Suddenly, Rava's sister showed up. She hadn't visited him in 13 years. And she brings with her a fattened hen and a bottle of old wine. So Rava turns to the poor man. He says, here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought you your food. So the lesson from that story is, you're a poor person. What's the Havamina? But that guy, he was used to eating delicacies, and he had bitachon that he would get it. So he got it through tzedakah. If that's what a person is accustomed to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can provide it one way or the other. And he continues, Avalim ain lo yischus toy l'kadesh yitnu loy l'maisarais. But if you don't have a schus to rely on, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you excess comforts, v'hu maitzi aitzayis b'maisarais, and yet you're going to spend like there's no tomorrow, then yimtzu rois rabbis v'tzarais. Then you're going to run into a problem. Meaning if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you have the schosim that you can afford to live a life of luxury, so then despite the fact that you're spending like a drunken sailor, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rejuvenate the bank account continuously. But if you're not zoiche, then you're going to run out of money. Somebody who either Gemara and Pesachim says that someone who eats fat meat and he can't pay, he eats in the attic. Why does he eat in the attic? So I'll put it in 2025 terms. Someone who owes money around the town shouldn't go on Instagram and show pictures of the fancy chasna that he made last night in Marina Del Rey. Why? Because you can have a line out the door of all your creditors that are going to come knocking on the door and saying, "What a chutzpah! You took the money that you owe me and you spent it on a fancy wedding." And that's the idea. You're going to eat fat meat. You're going to hide it in the attic so that the creditor shouldn't see that you're eating expensive food. But if you're going to eat inexpensive vegetables, so you can eat a salad, you can eat it in front of the bank. Nobody's gonna hack you, China. Although today, right? Although it's, I know Tzvi's probably gonna say this, today a salad's more expensive than a fat piece of meat. You're right, Tzvi, that's true. All right, Amru echo batzel, batzel, eat an onion, sit in the shade. I'll tell you, nugim. Don't eat expensive delicacies, but you libcha. Your appetite, why? Because he says here a different idea. He says you're always going to be running after it. If you're used to eating fancy foods, so then when you don't have it, you're going to be disappointed, even if it's a perfectly good meal. But it's not going to be that level of food, that first cut or second cut of meat that you're used to eating. And so it's going to always weigh on you that you're always going to have this cheshek to eat like this. Let's do a little more. Ubiyata Adam, lahargel tivay ma'at ma'at. He says, how do you work on yourself? You got to do it little by little. And it's possible, but it's got to be little by little. His topic, the more the Leo's been smart, sake via for like to be satisfied with less so that you will shrink. Now here, I don't think he's talking about your stomach shrinking or your pant size shrinking. I think he's talking about your taiva shrinking, but although it could be said for your weight as well. And via for it will be good for you. Meaning, this goes back to something we talked about, not finishing every last drop on your plate, but putting a little bit to the side. And then maybe the next week you say, you know what? I'm not going to eat a full piece. I'm going to have a half a piece. But slowly, slowly you cut back. And if you feel deprived and the Yetzirah comes and pushes you and tells you need it, push back and tell the Yetzirah, no, this is my chayt. This is good for me. He says, I'm going to give you a good mentality. The Yetzirah is going to tell you why are you afflicting yourself. And you answer the Yetzirah, a very good reason to live a life of tzar. Now, let's think about the life of tzar here. Okay, you're eating the food, you're just not eating as much of it. And the Yetzirah is coming to hound you and say, why are you causing yourself pain? You say, Ala Torah, because I want to pursue Torah. Al avoda, I want to pursue avodas Hashem. But al churban beis hamikdash, I'm in mourning over the churban. Ubitul Torah va'avoda va'al rois rabbis. I'm worried about all the bitul Torah and avoda and all the evil things. Shagar ramnu ba'avon yisenu. So it's also a form of mourning and it's a form of kapara. He says, therefore, even if you can't afford it, you should always be cutting back. You should always try to limit and not spend to the full extent of whatever you can afford. Why? Because it's always beneficial. He says, go and learn this from the Avos, right? The Avos achieved their potential in this world. How? You look at the Avos. Avos were all extremely wealthy. Avram, well known from Paroi, right? The story with Lot, we know. Yitzchak, we know that the Plishtim became jealous. And Yaakov, we know from the story of Esav when he comes back from love and he's extremely wealthy. So they were all extremely wealthy. However, Shekol Yimeihem Hayugerim Alei Eretz. They conducted themselves like Gerim. In what way? They never ran after fancy or pleasure. Right? They always live, always moving. If you look at the story in the Avos, always moving. Avram, his tent is in Beisel. Then he's moving up here, down to Be'er Sheva, up to Yerushalayim. Right, he's all over the place, down to Mitzrayim. And Yitzchak was more limited in where he could move to, so he went to Gaza, which was actually a nice place back then. And Yaakov, as we know, went also all over the place, moving around. And therefore, it was easy for them when they were commanded to move, because they never got too comfortable. And the one time we find that someone did get comfortable, at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, what does Rashi say? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you want to sit in peace? It's not for this world. So now we have a better understanding. Take of Kafatz Alav Rugzo Shal Yosef, immediately the ordeal with Yosef came. Now we understand it. Because Yaakov, this world is not for comfort. This world is to deny yourself that pleasure, that indulgence. Now, in a Hanami, for us, we shouldn't be living in a tent. That's not something for us. But on Yaakov, on his level, it was not appropriate for him to sort of get comfortable and want to live in peace. Again, Yaakov wanted to live in peace so he could learn Torah. But again, you have to realize that that's not, that there has to be some level of pulling back and withholding and denying yourself in this world. He says, and if that was true for Yaakov, we who are full of averos, that if we're going to run after pleasure, we'll exhaust all of our schosim from the next world. What will we have remaining for us in the next world? So you don't want to use up your schosim by trying to make as much money as you can in this world in order to fulfill all of your taivas and get everything that you want.